This is Eric Johnson, Coach EJ, the brand.
Hey, guys, and this is Coach Aaron, the source.
Hey, welcome to our...
Oh, go ahead.
Welcome to our podcast today. That's all I wanted to say, Aaron.
Today's topic, training on the road. Should you, shouldn't you? What's appropriate? How do you do it? Kind of take a look at it. You know, it's that time of year where I've got, we both got athletes who are traveling tournaments, short trips, long trips all across the country, different climates, staying at different venues. And how do you keep the training going? It's a good question. Should you keep the training going? My answer in most cases is yes, especially if you're a developing athlete. You don't want to waste too much time or let too much time go by without at least doing some maintenance things. So, EJ, what are your initial thoughts? And then I'll jump back in.
I like that, Aaron. You know, I always think of it this way, Aaron. You know, athletes go on the road and they get bored. I mean, I think, and I heard this from one of the athletes I'm with here at this national championship tournament for USA Baseball, and yeah, I'm bored. I'm like, interesting. So I asked the athlete, Aaron, what they've been doing. You know, I mean, and I don't know, you know, not really that much. Just, you know, we had games and, you know, just kind of like, hey, we, you know, I called you to hit one day. That's nice. But, you know, the training, you know, the training aspect of it comes in different components, Darren. You've got the mental training that you need to spend time on during the day, every day if you're an athlete. There's the physical training, the sports performance training, as you and I call it. And then there's your sport training that you do in your sport. You know, we're here for baseball, so what extra baseball stuff are you doing? So I look at it into these three components, and do athletes really have a plan when they hit the road, you know, and what are they doing? So I look at it that way, Aaron. It's my 3 cents as we dive into this subject.
Yeah, I guess, you know, where I would start is, again, from the big picture, saying, okay, what are you trying to accomplish over the summer? And you know, when do you have to be ready for what tournaments? You know, are some tournaments more important than others? You know, do you really want to show well at others while others are kind of just, you know, housekeeping sorts of things? You don't have to really be as sharp or as fresh, that sort of thing. But regardless, you should have some kind of at least travel plan. I would say at least have two different types of workouts. One, where you have access to equipment, and two, where you don't have access to equipment. That way you always can switch from one to the other, and you know what you're going to be able to work on when you approach each one of those training regimens. So, you know, say for instance, you're staying at some hotels and they've got some moderate sized or fairly equipped gyms where, you know, you've got dumbbells and things like that. That's pretty common. So maybe you have a small routine that you do that uses that type of equipment. You know, most places will have a recumbent bike, treadmill, like I said, may not have bands, but they might have bands, but they'll generally, most will start to have kettlebells nowadays and at least dumbbells. Not gonna have full on, you know, squat racks and all that stuff, but you can get a lot done with those sorts of things. So maybe you have a travel plan that incorporates those sorts of things. I write those all the time for my athletes because it's pretty easy to do across the board, whether you're at the Hilton or the Holiday Inn, you know?
Right.
The other would be for those areas when you're at some of these places that don't have anything, Comfort Inn.
<You know>? They don't have very much in their home inn.
But yeah. Then you might have something that's more body work and band based. So you might travel with some resistance bands. I know everyone has the Jaeger bands, but I'm talking some things that are a little bit, you can get a little more physical with. So you've got, you know, the gorilla bands, whatever they call them, kangaroo bands, all those sorts of things you can use. You might travel, especially you pitchers, with some kind of small dumbbells, whether it's 3 pounders, 4 pounders, 5 pounders, or with some of the plyo balls, the small plyo balls, and right, put some kind of routines together with that, with some body weight exercises. I mean, it never hurts to go back to some of the basics of some functional movements where you're doing deep squats, you're doing lunges, step ups, you know, a variety of different things like that, push ups, pull ups, dips, just to keep the body toned, just to keep the body, you know, fit and responding when you go out to compete. If you're lucky enough to go to some of these places that, you know, have full-on facilities where they're, you know, on a college campus or some of these other places, and they happen to, you know, leave the weight room open or let you guys have access to that, boom. Well, now you can go in and do your whole full-blown program. But part of this, all of this requires planning. So knowing where you're going to go, you know, you most of the time you're probably going to ask if they had a continental breakfast. So the same breath, ask them if they got a workout facility and what's in it. So this way, as you know where you're going, you know what equipment you have access to, you know what equipment you might want to bring, and you can stay on track.
Aaron, I was thinking about this as you were speaking. Like on a long trip, usually, you know, in our industry, baseball, 7 days, you know, you might go 7 days on where you're actually gone. Then you come back home for four, you're back out on a short weekend trip. Then you go back out after 2 days, you go on a 7 day trip. So when you start to have these trips, like these, you know, kind of like sevens and a break and threes, you know, I think most athletes get confused. What do I do in those 7 days? You know, pitchers, I always tell them, you know, they're like, hey, I'm going to lift today before I throw. I'm like, no, we're not going to do any lifting the day before you're going to throw in the game. And I said, why don't we lift afterwards, after right. the game? Why don't we do some sprinting after the game or sprinting the next day? But I think they get kind of lost in understanding what to do on a longer trip. You know, they know the day they're going to throw, or the position players, they know what days they're in there. I always tell position players, 7 day trip, Aaron, and you can help me with this. Work out at least 3 days because you're going to need some recovery time. You're playing and stuff. And I try to tell them, if you can, if you're playing an evening game, all right, to lift in the morning. Right. And if you're playing early games and right. lift after, you know, after the game, and then you're at least taking care of that. But I see athletes, you know, I think you shared this with me before, and, you know, I'd love to share this with the audience a little bit. You know, pick your four exercises that you know, maybe you're not, you know, that you need to stay fit. I think you said it earlier. You said, you know, pull-ups. I think that activates the body pretty darn good during a 7 day trip, man. I really do. So, you know, you got any thoughts about that, man? This long trip, short trip.
You're starting to go in and out, EJ. So, the gist of what I got from you, and maybe what you might want to do is just go to audio and not video. And then that way we may not be better for now. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think what you were saying was, you know, generally I do tell athletes, just pick four main exercises that you can do. And, you know, usually they're full chain exercises. So pushing, pulling, lunging, squatting, standing, you know, with some forms of resistance, usually will do an athlete well. And then if you add to that, if you've got access to a pull, maybe you do a slight pull workout. Be careful with those because they can flatten you out. So you don't have to do anything really, you know, too long or too lengthy. And then, you know, if there's room to run, you know, you can always get out and do some types of short sprints and things like that. So, you know, if you've done everything you're supposed to up to this point, you don't have to do a lot, you know.
Okay.
But if you haven't, and you're trying to still continue to grow through the summer, then you know, you've got to do a little bit more, and you've got to just be creative. You know, I'm big fan of using the terrain around you. You know, if there's hills or stadiums or things like that that you can incorporate into your training, you can do that. You don't need a whole lot of room to do jump training, hops and bounds and single leg hops. You can do those in place. You can do those in short periods, you know, short distances. As track athletes, we would always exercise in the hallways of the of the hotel. You know, it's air conditioned. And, you know, generally there's usually not people roaming around. So we would do some of our drills and exercises in the hotel. But I want to get back to something that you mentioned that was important. You know, training is not just the physical aspect of it. And I know that's what everyone gets caught on. But I remember as an athlete, you know, part of my training was just some of the mental stuff. When you travel, you tend to, you know, at least I did, there tend to be a lot of downtime. And you say the athletes get bored.
Right.
Well, take some of that time to work on the mental part of your game. So maybe that's where you're sitting down and you're just thinking about, okay, what's my approach on guy on first, guy on third, you know, it's two outs and he's pitching me outside. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you do some kind of scenario-based mental training on during that time. You know, there's programs now where you can do actual visual training where you're looking at the spin of the ball. Football guys, you might be looking at, you know, game film, things like that. So there's other things that you can do to occupy your time instead of just sitting in front of the TV and watching HBO. So I think that's a good part of it. And it doesn't hurt to maybe do some things with the buddy. You know, that, or get a group of you guys and you make some kind of game out of it, you know, where you, I don't know, talk about situational, what would you do? You know, and then through the consensus, you say, everyone says, oh, that's right. Or, oh, that's wrong. What are you talking about? Do you throw to first? But things like that you can do, you know, again, going over those sorts of things, I think would help that kind of just that mental aspect.
Yeah.
Another thing is, you know, bring equipment that you can use inside. Your middle infielders, maybe bring a Nerf ball and you're throwing off the wall and you're just working on your glove work. Foam balls, things like that, hitting off a tee or whatever. You've got a Nerf ball. It's not going to break anything. You're not going to, you know, whatever you want to do that helps you kind of groove the motor patterns and gives you that mind-body connection to what you have to do. Exertion doesn't have to be a part of it. I say that all the time when athletes come to my gym. It's not about how tired you get. It's about what you learn through the training process. And so that might mean exertion where you're bent over, you're tired, you're dripping sweat, but that might mean, you know, you're cool as a cucumber, but you've just ingrained some of the movement patterns and the mental, you know, pathways that allowed you to acquire or retain a skill. So training looks a lot.
You said something key there. I think you said something key there, Aaron. Movement patterns, practicing movement patterns. That's kind of real important. It's a dry drill, but it's like a rehearsal. And I like that a lot. And you said it, and I don't think enough athletes do that. You know, I think track athletes are so good at rehearsing their runs or rehearse. And I think in athletics, we have to do that. In baseball, I know the rehearsal is crucial to let the mind, body, and let it go. You know, I always tell players, let it go, just go for it. And I think if they rehearse better, they have that opportunity to do that, you know, because they get free up. I think mostly a lot with baseball athletes I see, Aaron, is that the inability to free up and let it go.
Yeah, I agree. And so that's a skill that you have to practice. It's not something that, you know, again, everyone always thinks, okay, I'm going to get in the game and it's just going to happen. You right. actually, yeah, you've practiced those physical things, but if you haven't practiced the mental approach, the emotional approach that you're going to take that unlocks all of that of your body to be able to do those things, it doesn't matter. Because you might know what to do, but if you tense up, if you get scared and you can't control that fear, it does, like, again, I'm not one of those all don't get scared. Fear right. is a fine motivator. You just got to control your fear, you know, and you right. got to channel that into energy. But if you don't practice that skill, you're not even going to get to the physical. The physical is not even going to happen. So, you know, practice gearing yourself up, practice concentration, practice focus, you know, all of those things, practice relaxation, you know, all of those things you have to be able to do before the moment. Because most of us, especially a young, untrained athlete, aren't going to be able to do it in the moment. And right. you can probably look at your career, you know, that was probably something that you didn't really think about until you got much older, but you started to do, but it wasn't like someone maybe had to tell you. Maybe it's some things that you just did, and then you look back and say, oh yeah, you know, right. I did that, and that's what calmed me down. You know, right. me, myself, I actually read a book called Total Mind and Body, and that kind of clicked, you know, kind of hit the switch on me, and I started thinking more about the mind-body connection. And as soon as I did that, I was able to, you know, calm any anxieties, clear my head, focus, you know, slow the ball down, you know, for a baseball term.
Right.
And
right.
that takes mental practice. Yeah. That takes mental practice. And it's not just going to happen because someone says do this or you say, okay, I'm going to do it.
Right. You know, I had a player out here on a 4-day trip last month. We went Memorial Day. Perfect game event. And this player started meditating, you know, and his performance was remarkable. I think he went 9 for 10, Aaron.
Oh, geez.
And just because he slowed himself down, he just, you know, he just really got himself in a really good place. I could see him just elevate his performance through, and we didn't want to talk about anything physical. We didn't say all of a sudden he went and started doing this new technique of hitting, or he started to change his bat. It was just his mind. His mind became, you know, really strong, very focused in a good way. Wasn't putting pressure on himself, allowing himself to free up and just play. And he was reacting. Athletes react, you know, and I saw him do that and allowed him to have a great tournament. And I see the athletes who struggle sometimes overthink a little bit, you know, and that's part of your training. I think the mental part of the game is part of your training on the road. That's like, that should be, I think, one of the most important things outside of this maintaining your base of your physical conditioning. Those two things should be prominent when you're on the road. The technique of getting extra hitting or getting extra fielding, you've done that 1,000 times. That is there. It's ingrained there. But this training that you and I are talking about, which is way different than what other people talk about, is so critical. And an athlete's development, you know, and that's part of understanding how to train on the road.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I always say this with my track and field athletes. A lot of times we've put in enough time to learn a skill. The problem that athletes have is recalling it. And the reason why athletes have a problem recalling it is because they let other things get in the way, you know, i.e. anxiety, fear, or they try and do too much, you know, or they let the moment get to them and they don't do enough. In other words, they don't put enough effort into it. So, you know, my thing is really work on recalling the skill. Because if you practice, you know, a backhand grab, and you've practiced your transition from 30 meters to 60 meters week after week after week. You haven't forgot it. Your body hasn't forgot it.
Right.
But what happens is, in the midst of competition, you forget how to recall it. And sometimes you have to practice how to recall it. And some people call that muscle memory. Some people call it, you know, automatic. Whatever it is, you've got to make sure that on command, you can do it. And that takes practice. And it's not just the mechanics of doing something. That's practicing. That's taking the synapses or whatever you want to call it and sending those signals from the brain to the body.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think, you know, when our athletes go on the road, you know, they need to think about a plan, like you said. I call it a travel plan. What's your travel plan when you go on the tournament? What if, you know, and is it going to incorporate these facets? It's going to incorporate the mental side of the game, the physical part of physical conditioning, sports performance, and it's going to incorporate your skill that you're in, whether it's shooting baskets or you're doing some pass pattern routes, or you're going to get some extra swings, or, you know, you're playing rugby or whatever the case being, whatever you're doing, have that training plan for this road, you know, move forward that way, become a better athlete, become a next level athlete. I think that's a next level thought process, Aaron, and really what we're talking about.
No, I agree. Good stuff, man. I know we did a podcast a while back. Didn't get a chance to pull it up, about traveling and just having fun on the road as well. And you guys should look that up. We did a couple seasons ago. And, you know, it talks about the balance as well of, you know, traveling, competing, having fun, those sorts of things. Not overdoing it, obviously. Right. But, you know, you're not sitting up all night, you know, but playing PlayStation. But anyway, doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. And, right. But enjoying the experience. Okay. You guys are out there. This is a great time to have memories about the, you know, time of your life that's going to be gone. And so, you know, soak it all in, be in the moment. But, you know, again, job number one is to get out there and compete well.
Yeah. Well said, Aaron. And that kind of wraps up what we want to talk about today, you know, training on the road. So this is Coach EJ, the brand.
And Coach Aaron, the source. We'll see you.